So here with me is my, well, I hope he's my friend. It's Frankie Barton.
Hello.
I'm not going to ask you, are you my friend? No, that would just
yes,
be...
Yes, I am your friend.
Yeah, that's, I thought as much. But we've known each other for a few years now, haven't we?
We have.
I don't remember how many, so don't ask.
No, I don't either.
Because we both worked at the same place prior to...
We did, yes.
...this time working, or, well, prior to being in the studio together now, we've actually been in a studio before
we have.
Together.
This
when
one,
you were a presenter and I was
a long
researcher.
Time ago, yeah.
Yes.
I am still one, but on a different radio station now.
Yes, and you play a very specialised type
of
music
too,
don't you?
I'm not going to mention it on here, but there you go.
I think you're allowed to. I'll let you.
Okay.
I'll let you mention it once.
Okay, I'm on Hard Rock Hell Radio.
Which sounds lovely, doesn't it?
It's actually very diverse. It has everything from the sort of poppy to progressive all the way up to black metal, anything in between. It even has 60s stuff and 50s stuff, so it's very diverse.
Not my type of thing,
No,
then.
Probably not. Not everyone likes that sort of thing, but there you go.
No, so anyway, Frankie, what else do you do other than radio presenting?
Well, I create music, I edit, I do all sorts. I'm an artist. It's one of those questions where somebody asks you it and you sort your mind goes on freeze and you can't remember. You even forget your own name. So I'm glad you actually mentioned it was Frankie. Otherwise, I would have used.
You'd have been questioning
who
you were.
Yes, if you said who are you, I'd have gone a
thingy.
I'm a creative. A creative writer. I don't just do poetry. I do short stories and all the bits and bobs, and as I say, I play with music, editing music, you know, think software like Ableton and Reason and things like that, you know.
Because mm-hmm. you're quite a knowledgeable chap.
Am I?
Well, it's come to my attention that you know lots of big words.
Well,
let's
just say I wing it a lot.
Yeah, apart from that. And you have quite an interesting state of mind, shall we say. Because I've written stories with you.
Oh, we have, yes.
They're part of a writing duo.
I still have some of them. I don't know if I've got them all. I shall have to check.
I should have them all
You
as
should
well.
Have them all, yeah. I think I made sure you had a copy of them.
And you do go off at a tangent quite easily.
Yes, that has been said before.
You like a tangent, don't you?
Yes, and I go off at a right angle. Well, slightly off a right angle, but a right angle would be too ordered, so maybe...
Maybe
82 degrees.
Just don't get technical with me again. Okay, so we've already ascertained you write a bit of poetry.
And other things.
You play lots of music. Yes,
and
we write
things.
Stories.
Yes, yes.
So we know that about you. We're going to hear some of your poetry in a minute,
okay.
Aren't we?
You want three from me, don't you? Do you want the cheerful one first or the not so cheerful ones?
Let's have the miserable ones first.
The miserable ones. What do you want them now? Okay, fine.
No, I was going to say we'll talk about poetry in a minute.
Okay, I'll put a bookmark on the first miserable one.
Okay. So where do you perform your poetry, Frankie?
Mostly at the Green Room. Mm-hmm. I mean, years ago, before the lockdown, I performed at all the gigs. I performed at the Drill Hall. I did two stints at the Theatre Royal. One at the Collections, that was an experience, I can tell you that. I think the only places I haven't performed in Lincoln is at the Guild Collections in the Blue Room. But yeah, they're the only sort of venues that I haven't performed in at least once.
Okay.
But, since the COVID lockdown, I'm still trying to get back into it. So now I do the Green Room and occasionally I do Ron Boo's Uncaged event every month, occasionally.
Every month, occasionally.
No, I mean, I do it occasionally.
You do it occasionally.
It's every month, but
the event
I do
is
it.
Monthly,
it's
yes.
The first Wednesday of every month, and I tend to go in occasionally and do a bit, but a lot of the times I go in and just be an audience member.
Okay.
But I perform more at the Green Room.
And are you a regular there, would you say?
Not especially. Again, COVID stopped a lot of things, and it's getting back into these things. You know, even though COVID was a year ago, a lot of people have trouble catching up.
Indeed they do, me being one of them.
Yes, exactly.
So let's hear some of your poetry then.
So you want one of the miserable ones first?
I want one of the miserable ones first, right, please. Okay.
This first one is this. I dedicate it to the victims of domestic abuse, violence. It's both physical and psychological. It's called Secrets. The clock doesn't tick. Its pendulum is still. The wooden carved deer laughs mockingly, but without sound. The owl looks on. So much wisdom, but so little to say. The bear, its growl stayed, for it dare not speak its mind. The sun peeks from behind the clouds, not daring to see, but unable to resist looking. The flash of light, the crash of thunder, the soft crust broken, bleeding. The lava rushes to form mountains around the pathways to the soul. The volcanic scream is answered by another strike of thunder, and the broken shapeshifter grins. For it likes to tread the skin. The wonderful entity screams again, but the owl, the bear, and the deer, and the sun all look away. The countless welts, eruptions, blemishes are filled with grease, and the oceans flood the chasms to dull the intensity of the pulsating red core. They fail. This soft world still suffers. It's only a matter of time now, for the earth bubbles. The beautiful crust covered in so many crevices will soon erupt. The shapeshifter's face shrinks into shallow emptiness, and the silent will sing once more. We will soon see the shapeshifter's true form. Thank you.
Excellent. Very thought-provoking. Although I have to be honest, I was expecting you to mention a pussycat in there because you talked about the owl and the deer.
One of the pussycats.
Yeah, I was expecting it. Sorry, that kind of distracted me a little bit.
You were saying, where was the pussycat? Where was the,
So I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
You said that was for victims of domestic abuse.
I dedicated the victim. Yeah. It's very metaphorical.
Yeah, okay. Do you write for specific people each time, or each of your poems dedicated to somebody?
No, the poems or something. The poems are usually triggered by an event, or even sometimes just a word, or something I see, or something I hear, or a situation I'm in, or a situation someone else is in. And you just grab that mood, you just take that mood or that emotion, and it's often like an eruption, and I sort of grab it and feed off it. A bit parasitical in a way, but there you go.
That's not a good image to have.
No, it isn't, is it? But it's kind of how it manifests. But then again, I write words and, well, it's more the pictures than words. The poems are more of an art form than a literacy, in my opinion, but there you go.
Now you're distracting me in a different way. Because,
well, no, I mean, when
I
you
was
think
going
about
to
it,
say but, to you,
yeah, go on.
How do you actually start off writing a poem?
Well, that's the thing. It's not words. It is words, but it's not. It's art. It's a mood. Art is an expression of emotion, passion, thought, and words are just the final manifestation of it. It's just like a painting, but without the oil and grease, and it says everything. It captures the emotion rather than the. It's not exact. It's not like engineering. It's not a science. It's definitely an art, and that's how it manifests. It's just feeling.
Okay, and can it strike you at any particular time?
Yes, it can. I mean, yesterday I was at the gym, and I was training, and four lines popped into my head for one of the poems I'd already thought I'd finished writing, and I hadn't. And so I went home after the gym session and wrote them in it. And there seemed to be nothing to trigger that particularly, but it would be probably something in the subconscious. Something I witnessed or was aware of, but wasn't aware, if you know what I mean.
So it just came to you?
That one, that particular episode, yeah. Sometimes I have to sit and I just sit and capture what's there.
Okay, because I know we've had Dan Kame in here, and I know he's quite a good friend of yours. Dan Kame.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I haven't seen him in a while, but, you know. Yeah.
I know you know him anyway.
Well, he's an amazing musician.
Yes, he is.
He's an. I first saw him at the open mic at the Birdcage when they opened mics, and he just plugged his guitar into a foot pedal, and he just sort of got absorbed in it, and he lost himself in it. And I think that's his secret. That's why he's so good, because it's not. I mean, music is there's a lot of math. Music theory, it's mathematical. It's all very precise, but sometimes you've got to stray. You've got to deviate. You've got to let yourself just flow.
Somebody like Dan, who's obviously writes his own music,
yes,
would like somebody to do write words for his music or to go with his songs.
Oh.
Is that something you would be interested in?
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm not saying you've got to write some words for Dan Kane.
No, I have written a few songs as well, but without music, and I've written music without words. So at some point it's going to meet, and if I could meet somebody as creative as him and who can take what I create and add it to what he does, then you've got something beautiful there.
You should really go and speak to him again, frankly.
Well, as I say, I hardly ever see him now. I mean, I saw him a lot when the open mics were about frequently, but he's still around on Facebook, so I might PM him, ping him. I did not know he was looking. If I'd known, I would have said something ages ago.
Okay. On that note, I think you better read another poem, Frankie.
Another poem?
Yes.
Okay. No. Do you want the other miserable one or a cheerful one?
No, let's go for a full-on misery.
Full-on misery. Well, that one's pretty miserable. This one I wrote about homelessness. The inspiration was this one. There's a young lady you sometimes see in town. She's homeless. And on this day, this poem came to me. She was outside somebody's garden, and she was rummaging through rubbish, looking probably for something to eat. Sometimes see her about in town, and she's looking more dishevelled every time. But one of the things I do on a Sunday is I work for a homeless... Inspired by her, I work for a homeless place called Echo.
Yeah.
Where they feed, they just give them food. And I was hoping that she would make... I even saw her once and told her where it was, so she could come in and feed. But every time I see her, she looks a bit... But she, because of her, I wrote this poem. It's called She Sits Alone. She sits alone, just a shadow. Her friends, well, people she knows, laugh to each other. She is there, but they don't look over. They don't hear her. They don't hear her voice, a scream to her, to drown out the one in her head, but less than a whisper to them, her friends, her so-called friends. She sits alone, so much noise, so much joy, but all outside her forlorn cage. She sits alone, only darkness meets her, only darkness greets her, only darkness reaches her fingertips. She sits alone behind those bars, intensely staring at them, looking for a reflection of herself so she knows she's alive, or at least exists. She sits alone and hears the cheer growing ever distant, the voices fading and language more distorted. She hears the words, but she does not understand. She sits alone, seeing their faces change. She knows them, but she doesn't. Their lives, hobbies, loves, fears, everything, all alien to her. She doesn't understand. They don't understand. She sits alone, her back to everyone, even if they are talking at her, for they don't see her, hear her, know she exists, or even care. She sits alone, rubbing the rim of a glass with her fingertips. It rings, and its echoes is lost in the darkness, but at least it's interaction, at least it speaks to her. She sits alone, a blanket embraces her. Snow falls and she tries to catch a flake with her tongue. The cold sensation fails to cancel out the bitterness. She wants to feel something, but not this. She sits alone where no one can see the scars of a broken and burnt shell. She is her own judge, her own jailer, her own tormentor, her own executioner, her own metaphor. She lays alone, staring into the sky, her eyes as empty as her soul. She no longer feels the cold. She no longer feels alone. She lays alone, under a stone, her name on the lips of everyone. Now they want to know her. Now they want to hear her. Now they want to see her. Only now it's too late. Thank you.
Oh, I feel like I'm wiping a tear from my eye now.
Mm.
That's very sad.
Yeah, I told you it was a miserable one.
I think it was sad rather than miserable. I think there's a difference, and I think
there
that
probably
was
is
sad.
Actually. Yeah, I've never really looked into that, but there you go.
How do you come up with your imagery?
It happens. As I say, it's triggered by events, occurrences, sometimes a single word, and it's there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like painting. It just an artist can just paint something in the head or see something. It just manifests itself, and they start changing and playing with it and making it something unique. And that's kind of what happens here.
Okay, because you're actually an artist as well, aren't
you? Yes, I am. Yeah. See, I've got some of my charcoal drawings. I've actually included some in this book. You can see some of them. I do oil painting mostly, but I when I started doing art again, I did charcoal. Yeah, that one's called Torment. No, I don't think there's a webcam in here, so I don't think they can see it.
No. Sadly.
But I just section off. That's the human heart. Yeah. If anyone's listening to this, I'm showing Joe some drawings.
And they're very good drawings.
Thank you. These are charcoal drawings. But when I had a long period where I became void of any artistic temperament. That's a self-portrait.
That's not a self-portrait
at all.
It
actually is a self-portrait.
It's a picture, if I can describe it to you. It's
me.
A teddy bear wearing a hat with a cigar in an armchair.
It's now, a self-portrait.
I don't believe that's
it
a self-portrait.
It is a self-portrait, yeah. It is. It's a metaphoric self-portrait, but it is a self-portrait.
Well, I've never seen you in... Oh, I have seen you in a hat once.
Yeah, it's the hat is incidental.
Symbolic.
It's the bear, that's me.
I can see that about you, yes. Although it has to be said, you're not quite as furry as you once were.
I go to the gym now, and I've lost a lot of weight, and for some reason, a lot of fur as well, but I don't know
why. Is that because you had a shave that you lost the weight?
could be, yeah, could be.
Okay.
I still have my beard. Not as big as it once was. But,
no, that's what I mean, you've lost fur.
Yes, but I've still got the warmth inside.
Obviously, yes. I'm not going to argue with that.
Yeah.
So, your pictures, do you do them to reflect your poetry?
No, they're a separate thing. They happen on their own. I just start doodling and I just let my mind wander and my fingers go with them. Same with my paintings. I mean, some of my paintings usually have an idea what they start off with, but they never finish of what they're going to start as what they were originally planned to be. I have one of a gyroscope, it was supposed to be a gyroscope, but turned into a tree that just happens to also be a gyroscope. There's grass and wood, and it's a tree with a... Yeah.
Could you just explain what a gyroscope is? Because some of us aren't quite as intelligent as others.
Well, it's not really intelligent, it's more just having experienced one. If you imagine, you know what the Earth is. You know how it sort of tilts on an axis and has a sort of equal and balance. A gyroscope is a sort of model of that. It's not a solid circle like the Earth. It's usually a stem and there's a disc around it and you spin it and it balances itself.
Okay, so it's not one of those things, it's a toy,
but also a scientific instrument.
That's probably why it lost me.
Yeah.
But I was just going to say, it's not one of those things that you look into, is it? And you twist the end and all the colours and
that's
patterns.
A kaleidoscope.
Yeah, I knew that was a scope of some
sort.
Yeah,
it's still a scope, but it's a different type
Never
of scope.
Never mind.
No. it is still a scope. Now, this here is also a scope.
I'd have to take your word for that.
Well, that's actually a signal generator, which I've...
He's showing me a picture,
which to me looks like a
kiddie toy.
But it's got RIP on it, because it's the symbolic of the death of old technology, because this is a picture of something that was old, and everything now. All that's gone now. That's just basically what it is. You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were calling me old for a minute there.
No, not you. No, you're not old, no. You're young. Younger than me.
I know I'm younger than you.
Therefore, you're young.
Yes, obviously.
Yes.
I am only 4 weeks younger than Frankie, but let's not.
It's still
argue.
Younger than
it's
me.
Younger than
even him. If you're 1 second younger than me, you're still younger than me.
It's true.
Yeah.
Anyway, stop talking. Oh, I want to talk.
Sorry.
I obviously
I
you're.
Shut up now.
I'm looking at pictures, and you're reading from a book. What is your book with the pictures and the words in it?
Yes. Yeah, it's the first one I've done. I've been in a few anthologies before. I think only one of them is still in print. But this is the first solo work I did. I got a royalty check. It was for 68p. So
that's admirable. I've never had a royalty check for anything.
Well, it was directly into my account. It wasn't a check, but they call them checks, didn't they? When they used to do it, they used to get a check every so often. But this is—it's called The Sparks of Black, Volume One. The subtitle is what? Because
so this is a book you've written.
Yes,
and illustrated.
I've did most of Volume Two. It's not ready yet. I've need some illustrations for it. Which I've got to do. So it's time to get the charcoals out again. But the most of the written material is already in it. But I like to add illustrations. It gives somebody to look at other than my writing.
Okay. So are you going to read us a happy song?
The here? Happy one.
Happy song? The happy one. Poem?
Well, it's not a song. It's definitely a poem. But it could probably be made into a song, but I don't know. This is inspired when I heard two gentlemen moaning about the rain. And I love the rain, especially on a warm day. So I wrote a poem about, it's actually about water, but the rain was the catalyst, if you will.
Okay.
And this it's called Soft. How soft the water that ripples from the slightest breath of wind. How weak the water that can be pierced by the footfalls of a fly. How gentle the water against human skin. How strong it is that it erodes away entire continents. How soft that a skimmed pebble sends ripples across its girth. How weak that birds can pierce and feed from its lower depths. How gentle it flows through all life as an essence. How strong that it can carry mighty vessels. How soft that it can be drawn from the ground by the roots of the smallest flower. How weak that it is lifted into the tides by our moon. How gentle that it is the breath of the ocean. And how strong that no life can exist without it. Thank you.
Oh. I wouldn't say that's left me with a huge smile on my face.
Well, it should do.
But
it should make you appreciate water.
I do appreciate water.
There you go. See, I appreciate water too.
I know you're drinking a large bottle.
It's particularly large, but you know.
Don't change the facts, Frankie. Anyway, I think I'm going to have to say goodbye now.
Okay. I love these talks we have.
I was going to say it's been lovely talking to you.
Likewise.
And I have missed talking to you. We haven't seen each other for years.
We should start writing those little stories we did again.
We could, if you didn't go off on silly tangents.
Oh, you like
sometimes.
My tangents, admit it.
They confuse. Maybe we'll read one day when I find them. It's been absolutely joyous catching up with you.
Likewise.
You do make me laugh.
Good.
And cry all at the same time, mainly. But that's another story.
Yes.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
And I will see you again soon.
Hopefully. Yes.